One of the greatest arguments against belief in an all-knowing, all-powerful and all-loving God is the fact of the presence of evil and suffering in the world. And not just that it exists, but that it exists in such enormous and intense proportions. How can God, if God is all-powerful and all-loving, how can God allow the intense and the prolonged suffering of innocent people? I mean, just look at all the terrible things that are happening throughout the world. Wars over resources and control. Despots who have, in order to further their own goals, instigated the unnecessary suffering of countless others. How do you rationalize the problem? How do you come to grips with the huge paradoxes that life seems to throw at us? At a crucial point in Fyodor Dostoevsky's book, The Brothers Karamazov, set in 19th century Russia, Ivan Karamazov engages his younger brother Alyosha, who is in training to be a monk, in a lengthy discussion on the existence and nature and the providence of God. And here Ivan puts forward his argument against God. He states that while he believes in God's supreme wisdom and purpose, he just cannot accept it. I mean, that is, if God has supreme wisdom and purpose but does nothing to alleviate the suffering of innocent children, Ivan wants to have nothing to do with this God. And more explicitly, he states, it isn't God I don't accept, you see. It's the world created by him, the world of God I don't accept and cannot agree to accept. Later on, he goes on to explain the cause of his bitterness against God and the world by using examples of the base cruelty of adults towards innocent children, something that we still hear a lot about even today. We live with paradoxes all the time, things that we believe should be true, but do not always pan out in the reality of life. For instance, we instinctively know that good should triumph over evil. But when? All around us we see evil triumph. When will good triumph and evil be vanquished? And, you know, this problem is nothing new. Many of the Psalms express this very same paradox of life, the incongruity between what should be and what actually is, or at least what appears to be. We find this expressed very clearly in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John, talking about Jesus, John states, he was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. For John, this is a paradox that ought not to be. And when a woman gives birth, it doesn't take very long for a bond to develop between mother and child, a very special bond where instinctively the child is aware of a sense of belonging. Don't ask me how this happens, it just does. And anyone who has had a child is aware of it. There is a sense of dependency, of nurture, of being able to express needs and having those needs met. And of course, when those needs are not met, well, the child makes darn sure everybody knows about it. The paradox that John describes here is that although the world came into being through Christ, the world did not recognize him. The world did not have that sense of belonging, of being dependent, of being nurtured and having its needs met. Instead, what you have is a world intent on rejecting the very one through whom it owes its life, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's pretty incredible when you stop and think about it. I mean, could you possibly imagine a newborn baby rejecting its mother, not wanting to feed from her, not wanting to her to attend to all its needs, choosing instead to manage on its own? I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's just what the world as a whole has chosen, to live on its own apart from the caring and nurture of God in Christ. The marvellous truth of the gospel is that the one through whom the world was made, whom John refers to as the Word or Logos in the Greek, became flesh and blood. Just as we are and lived among us as one of us. It's not just that Jesus became one of us so that he would be able to experience life as we know it and so, I guess, empathize with our plight as corrupted human beings, although that is part of it. there is something far more important for us here that relates to our present experience of life. Through Jesus, the child born in Bethlehem, that little baby wholly dependent on its parents, Mary and Joseph, through him, God's love and truth is revealed to the world. What that means is that through Jesus and through our experience of Jesus alive in our hearts, we have all that we need to know God in a personal way and understand God's will for us. John writes, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." It's as if God is not content to rely on the fact of his creation to be the bridge to our relationship between God and humankind. What is sometimes called natural theology, that is, our understanding of God that we get through creation, is not enough for us to know God properly. To know God not only as our Creator, but also as our Redeemer and Sustainer and Lord, for that, something else was required. In order for us to know God more completely, God did something far more personal, something far more intimate. He sent his Son to live as one of us, to share our joy and our pain, and then to die on our behalf. This is the fundamental fact of the gospel, the good news that gives rise to our praise to God. It's why we're here, and it's that which sustains us through the trials of life. I mean, we all look for love, for the grace that comes as part of belonging. It's a part of our makeup as human beings to seek love and to offer it to others. We all desire truth, the truth of who we are and why we're all here. In Jesus, we find both of these things. Through him, we experience the grace and mercy of God. Through him, we understand the true meaning of love, and we come to experience perfect love for ourselves. Only then are we able to properly express love to others. Through Jesus, we come to know something about God's immeasurable love for us, a sacrificial love, a love that is neither self-seeking nor self-indulgent, a love that gives out rather than demands. Through Jesus, we also experience truth, the truth about God and the truth about ourselves and the world we live in. As Jesus says elsewhere, "He who has seen the Son has seen the Father." It's as if when you look at Jesus, you're looking at God himself. In Jesus, the reality of God is displayed in all its fullness. In Jesus, we see the glory of God, and we come to know in our hearts the nature of God in relation to his creation. We come to know God as a God of love, as all-powerful, as all-loving, as all-compassionate. In Jesus, the very nature of God shines through. And through Jesus, we come to know who we are. For it's only through knowing Christ that we can truly know ourselves. As flawed human beings, certainly, but as loved and forgiven, and can know and do his will for us. With Jesus Christ, what more could we possibly want? What more could we possibly need? In him, the paradoxes of life take on new light. In him we begin to understand, as did the psalmist, the ultimate exaltation of the righteous and the true fate of those who reject God and seek their own ends. In him we find the light that leads us in the way in which we should go, a light that can never be put out. In him we find life for all people, life in all its abundance. And so as we enter into this new year, let's seek to walk in that light that Christ shines for us. Let's seek to live that life that Christ has given us. Let's experience anew, daily even, the grace and the truth of God and ourselves as we seek to do his will, as we seek to participate in what God is doing in the world and in our midst. And for those who do, for those who receive him, who believe in his name and who respond to his calling, just as John says, he has given power to become children of God. Arrest that promise and take hold of it close to your hearts. throughout this coming year, because I reckon you're going to need it. And to God be all the glory, honour and praise. Amen.